All right. Well, we've been going through we just started a new sermon series last week called The Compassionate and Gracious God, and we'll be going through the Minor Prophets. And the Minor Prophets are called the Minor Prophets, not because they're lesser in any way, but just because their books are a little bit shorter than a lot of the other prophetic books that are found in the Bible. And we're going to be going through all 12 Minor Prophets. It's the last 12 books of the Old Testament, and a lot of people don't know much about these books, and so we want to take this summer to go through it. And we're going to be starting today, and we're going to start with Hosea. Today we're going to be talking about Hosea. And so why don't we turn our Bibles to Hosea chapter 11, and we're going to be reading from verses 1 to 11. And again, if you do have your Bible with you, I want to encourage you guys to open up your Bibles to Hosea chapter 11, and we'll be looking at verses 1 through 11. Some of you guys might be having a hard time looking for Hosea. It's before the New Testament, and it's after books like Isaiah, Jeremiah, after Psalms, after Ezekiel, after Daniel, and then you're going to find Hosea. Hosea chapter 11. We'll be reading from verse 1. This is the reading of God's word. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. The more they were called, the more they went away. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and burning offerings to idols. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them up by their arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of kindness, with the bands of love, and I became to them as one who eases the yoke on their jaws. And I bent down to them and fed them. They shall not return to the land of Egypt, but Assyria shall be their king, because they have refused to return to me. The sword shall rage against their cities, consume the bars of their gates, and devour them because of their own counsels. My people are bent on turning away from me, and though they call out to the Most High, he shall not raise them up at all. How can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I treat you like Zeboiim? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. I will not execute my burning anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim. For I am God and not a man, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in wrath. They shall go after the Lord. He will roar like a lion. When he roars, his children shall come trembling from the west. They shall come trembling like birds from Egypt and like doves from the land of Assyria. And I will return to them. I will return them to their homes, declares the Lord. Thanksgiving. Now, I'm not talking about the holiday that some of us celebrate, but I want to ask a question with this idea of Thanksgiving. How do you usually express thanks? Think about that a little bit. How do you usually express thanks? Now, people express thanks in all different kinds of ways, and they use this word thanks or thank you in all different kinds of ways. Now, there's a regular way that we give thanks. We thank people for almost everything. And sometimes our thanks, the words that we say, may not be genuine. You know, one of the first things that some people, when they learn English, is this phrase. As soon as you hear, how are you, you're supposed to respond with, I'm fine, thank you, and you? And we don't know if the words thank you that's used there is actually genuine or not. Maybe it is. Or sometimes you go to the store and someone says, here's your change, and you say, thank you. Again, we give thanks in so many different circumstances. Sometimes we hear the words, you're pretty. And sometimes we might respond to something like that and say, thank you. And then they might follow up by saying, you're pretty, pretty ugly. And then we'll respond by saying, gee, thanks. And in all of these things, we're saying this word, thank you. And maybe sometimes we're genuine about it, and sometimes we're not. Sometimes there's even a commanding type of thank you. Don't play with your food, thank you. Or go and play in your room, thank you. I don't know. I heard this phrase in Chinese multiple times. I don't know if you guys understand what I'm saying there, but there's sometimes a commanding kind of thank you where you just say thank you because it's polite to say thank you, but you're just commanding your kids around. Or sometimes there's a thank you that comes where you don't even use the words, but you try to pay people back and that's your expression of thank you. There's a no use of words type of thank you. Or sometimes it's just a nod of the head. Or when you're driving, it's just a hand that you lift up. And so we express thanks quite often. But how often do we genuinely give thanks? And especially to God. How often do we genuinely give thanks to God? You know, usually when we hear about how some people, they find themselves complaining a lot, and maybe the advice that we might hear is, you know, you might want to try giving thanks. Start to think about all the things that you're thankful for and just start saying it out loud, all those things that you're thankful for. But what's usually not talked about when we learn about this idea about, you know, you should try to just give thanks, or you should try to think about the things that you're thankful for. The thing that's usually not talked about is that thanks or thanksgiving is usually tied, at least the idea of giving thanks is tied with the idea that you're giving thanks to someone. And so we might be thankful for our lives. We might be thankful for our homes. We might be thankful for the food that we eat. And we might be thankful, but then who are we thankful to? Well, the main idea for today, as we look through Hosea, is that we need to acknowledge God and give thanks to Him in Jesus. We need to acknowledge God that He is God, and we need to give thanks to Him in Jesus. The three points that we'll be going through today are God's fatherly love, our turning, and number three, God's judgment. Once again, the main idea is acknowledge God and give thanks to Him in Jesus. And the three points are God's fatherly love, our turning, and God's judgment. As we look at God's fatherly love, and as we look at today's passage, we're going to see that God is like a father. You know, one of the things that we usually hear about when we talk about the book of Hosea is this relationship that God has as a man has a relationship with a wife. The man is supposed to be faithful in marriage. The man is supposed to be there. And the wife is also supposed to be faithful in the marriage. But then God talks about how Israel, or the people of God, are like a wayward wife, an unfaithful wife. And that's what usually comes to mind when we think about the book of Hosea. But there is this other idea that comes out in Hosea where there is this relationship, again, between God and mankind, but this time it's a relationship of father and son, father and child. And so in the book of Hosea, we find that God is a loving father. And it actually goes back to this idea that comes from the book of Exodus. I mentioned last week where a lot of the prophetic books, they are not just getting new revelation from God, but a lot of times these prophetic books look back to the five books of Moses, the first five books of the Old Testament. They look back to what's written in there, and they begin to bring passages from there, especially this passage that's found in Exodus chapter 34. And they're remembering who God is, and they're applying it in the current circumstance. And so I want us to be reminded about what Exodus 34 says. Exodus 34 is where Moses is being called by God to go to Egypt and to to release the people from Pharaoh and to free God's people. But this is before Moses goes to Egypt, and God is calling Moses to do this work. And Moses says, you know, who should I tell them sent me? And you have to go with me. If you don't go with me, then what's going to happen? And God says, let me reveal myself to you. Let me tell you who I am. And this is where we come to Exodus 34, verse 6 and 7 says, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. What we find here is that God says, this is who I am. I am a God of love, of compassion, and grace. I will show my love to many, many people, but I am also a just God. I will not leave the guilty unpunished. I will deal with the things that are wrong in this world. I will make things right. And the God of the time of Moses is the same God of the time in Hosea. And the God that is the God who is gracious and loving and just in Hosea's time is the same God that is our God today. Our God never changes. And so let's look at today's passage to see how some of these ideas that are found in Exodus are talked about once again in the book of Hosea. We're talking about God's fatherly love. So number one, if we look at verse 1 in chapter 11, Hosea chapter 11, it says, When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. God calls his children to himself. Next, in verse 3, it says, yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them by their arms, but they did not know that I healed them. What we see in verse 3 is that God is a God who leads. It says he taught Ephraim to walk. He nurtures them. It says that he took them up by their arms, but they did not know that I healed them. God is the one who heals. And then in verse 4, it says, I led them with cords of kindness, with the bands of love, and I became to them as one who eases the yoke on their jaws, and I bent down to them and fed them. God is the God who is kind. God loves. God helps. God also provides. God is the same God who did all these things for the people in Egypt. God called them out of Egypt. God called the people of Israel out of Egypt. God led them. He nurtured them. He healed them. He was kind to them. He loved them as they were wandering even in the wilderness. God did all of these things for them. God provided for them. God helped them. And this is the same God that was doing the same thing for the people of Israel during the time of Hosea. God was providing for them. God was continually calling them unto himself. God was continually leading them and calling them through the prophets and saying, look, I will heal you. I will protect you. I will guide you if you would just return to me. And that God is the same God that works today. God calls us. He leads us and nurtures us. He's the God that heals us. God is kind to us. God loves us. God helps us. God provides for us. And what we see over and over again with prophecy, with prophetic books, and with all prophecy in Scripture, the way that prophecy works is that it's not just about these visions about the future and how things will become in the future and what the end times will be like. That's not what prophecy is all about. Prophecy is declaring God's word to us and applying it to us in our day. And so that's what was happening with Hosea's time. But what we see also in prophecy is that in these prophetic books, there are these themes that come up over and over again. God is the God that called people out from a particular place and saying, I choose you to be my people and I will love you and I will care for you. But what we found during the time of Egypt was that those people, they continue to fall away. And so God continues to call for his people to return. And this is expanded even more during the time of Israel in the book of Hosea. Hosea calls and tells people, look, God is calling out to you again. It's the same idea. God is calling out to you and he will heal you. He will nurture you. He is kind to you. He is loving towards you. And God will continue to do these things, even if a large nation comes and they may conquer. But God is here as long as you will return to him. And these same themes, these same ideas will continue even in the future. We don't know if some great nation will come and begin to conquer. And we don't know if we will be the ones that are suffering and oppressed or because of some virus or some situation that happens in our lives. We don't know what will happen in our lives, but then God is continually saying over and over and over again in all these prophetic books saying, I am here. I'm the same God. I did not change. Come back to me. And what we find is that God is able to lead us and nurture us and heal us and love us and help us and provide for us for all of our deep heart spiritual needs so that it begins to affect all of our outer needs. It doesn't necessarily mean that God will save us from the trouble right away, but God will save us in our hearts, this being the most important thing. God will save us in our spirits. And so that when we are saved in our hearts, then our whole mindset, as we're living on this earth, our whole mindset will begin to change about how we see things on this life, on this earth. And we'll begin to see hope. We'll begin to see joy. And it's because God is the same God that never changes. And he is working, even in our lives, calling us to him, calling us to return to him. And showing us that God is doing all of these things, calling us, leading us, nurturing us, healing us, being kind to us, loving us, helping us, providing for us. God is showing us that he is the God that does all these things. The thing is, that as God shows himself to us in this way, the thing that God desires of us, as God shows that he is a fatherly God, a God who shows us love, what God desires of us is for us to acknowledge this, to return to him and say, yes, you are the powerful God. Yes, you are the God that's in control. Yes, you are the God that does heal me. Not just a God who will heal me in the future, but you're healing me now. God, you're the God that is nurturing me. God, I know that you love me now. I don't need to question your love because I know that you love me now. I know that you provide for me all that I need. What God desires of us is for us to acknowledge him and give thanks to him. The basic idea is to say, let God be God and let us realize that God is God doing these things in our lives and we acknowledge that God is doing that. The thing though is that just like the Israelites, just like those people of that time, and I shared a little bit about the history of what happened. Hosea was a prophet specifically to the northern kingdom in Israel. Just like the people of Israel, we tend to turn away. The tendency of people, of humankind, is to turn away from God. And that's what verse 2 says here. The more they were called, the more they went away. And they kept sacrificing to the Baals and burning offerings to idols. Rather than acknowledging God as their God, they began to acknowledge other gods. They began to acknowledge their idols. They began to acknowledge themselves. They began to think and think themselves, or they began to think their gods. And so we come to our second point, our turning. What God desires is for us to turn to God. But rather, a lot of times, we turn away from God. The more they were called, the more they turned away. There are two ways that the Israelites, they turned away. The first way, as it's written here, is that they kept sacrificing to the Baals. Rather than turning to God, they turned to these other idols. They turned to these other gods, and they started acknowledging this thing as their God, and they began to say, this God, this thing is the thing that nurtures me. This thing is the thing that heals me. This thing is the thing that will bring me satisfaction. This thing is the thing that calls to me and will lead me and will nurture me and will heal me and will help me and protect me and guide me. This thing is the thing that will do all these things for me. And the Israelites, they kept turning to these other gods. This is what it says in Hosea 5:13. And this is the second way that people continue to turn away from God. It says, when Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah his wound, and the word Ephraim has to do with the northern kingdom and Judah has to do with the southern kingdom. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah his wound, then Ephraim went to Assyria and sent to the great king. But Assyria is not able to cure you or heal your wound. You see, the second thing that we do, and that what the Israelites did at that time, is that not only do they turn to these other gods, and not only do they turn to these other idols, but they also turn to other people. And they ask for help, and they think that if they go to someone greater, someone that has some ability, then maybe those people will be able to help you. Funny thing is that it was the Assyrians that actually came and attacked the northern kingdom, Ephraim, Israel. The Assyrians came and eventually conquered this northern kingdom. These are the two ways that we and that the Israelites of the time turn away from God. Rather than looking to God to be God in our lives, we turn to these other things in our lives. We turn to other people and we think, those things and those people will be the things that give me my joy. Those things will be the things that guide me. Those things will be the things that protect me. Those things will be the things that really heal me and that will love me, that will take care of me. But what does the Lord desire? What the Lord desires, it says in Hosea 6:6-7, for I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. You see, sometimes what the Israelites did was that it wasn't that they only turned away from God and turned to these other things, but they were turning to God and they were turning to these other things. But then the way that they turned to God was not with their hearts. They turned to God just with their actions. They sacrificed. They did all the things that they were supposed to do. But in their heart, what they really depended on were all these other things. It showed in their actions. They kept going to these other gods and they were worshiping them. And they kept going to these other nations and they were seeking help from them. God says, I don't want these actions. I don't want you to just do what you're supposed to do. I want your heart. I want you to be faithful to me. I want you to come back to me and know who I am. Believe who I am. Trust who I am. Remember what I declared to you back in the time when you were in Egypt. Remember who I was. Remember how I declared that I was the compassionate and the gracious God. Remember how I called you out of Egypt and how I led you with cords of kindness and with the bands of love? Remember, I want you to know who I am and trust me. rather than acknowledging God, rather than giving all credit to Him and giving glory to Him, rather than saying, God, You're the one who is the one that's really providing for me and protecting me. God, You're the one who's really the one who is kind and loving to me. You're the God that I really want. Rather than these things, we don't turn to God. Rather, we reject God and we turn to other things. This is what it says. But like Adam, they transgressed the covenant. The people turned away from their relationship with God, and there they dealt faithlessly with me. You see, there's this pattern that we find ourselves in over and over again. This verse in Hebrews chapter 10 points to this pattern. Verse 13, you have plowed iniquity, you have reaped injustice, you have eaten the fruit of lies. Why? Because you have trusted in your own way and in the multitude of your warriors. You see, this idea of plowing, it's like you're breaking up the ground and you're getting ready to sow some seeds in. But what you put in are this idea of trusting in your own way, and you're trusting in other people, you're trusting in your own things. And when you sow these things, when you plow the ground and you sow these things, what will come up? What will come up is injustice. So here's the basic idea. If we continue to turn away from the Lord and we turn to our own way, the automatic result will be that there will be more and more sin. There will be more and more, even more heinous sins that come out when we take our eyes off of God and we continue to look to these things in this world to satisfy all of our needs. Again, it says here, it's because you have trusted in your own way in the multitude of your warriors. Here, let me just say this little statement here. When a person begins to trust in themselves, and there is no guarantee of a good life, right? We trust in ourselves and we're wanting to have our own good life. And so we trust in ourselves and we're seeking that and we're trying to gain that good life. We're trying to attain it. When a person begins to trust in themselves and there's no guarantee of a good life, people will begin to do all kinds of things to attempt to secure their own good life. And this is what happens. In Hosea 4, 1 through 2, it says, hear the word of the Lord, O children of Israel. For the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. There is no faithfulness or steadfast love and no knowledge of God in the land. There is swearing, lying, murder, stealing, and committing adultery. They break all bounds and bloodshed follows bloodshed. See, the idea here is that when people, they take their eyes off of God and they begin to trust their own instincts, saying, I think that if I turn to this, this thing will be the thing that helps me. This thing will nurture me. This thing will be with me. This thing or someone is the answer to all my troubles. What ends up happening, the result, the fruit that comes up, the thing that they will reap, are these sins, swearing and lying and murder and stealing. It starts in our hearts, but it may even come out outwardly. And it says there's bloodshed that follows bloodshed. It's a vicious cycle. It just happens over and over and over again. So here's the basic pattern. The basic pattern is God blesses His people. But when we begin to have all these things, our mind tends toward going away from God, and we see all these things and we say, wow, we have a good life. And instead of acknowledging God and thanking Him, we we forget about God and we say, yeah, it's because I worked hard. And we give credit to ourselves. Yeah, it's because I was a good person and that's why things are working out. Yeah, I'm a smart person. I think I have things under control. And we begin to give credit to ourselves, or we might begin to give credit to other things, and we take all the credit away from God. And so what God does is that God allows these things, these sinful things to happen in our lives, or maybe sinful things are happening around us that affect our lives, or maybe there are these natural disasters or diseases or something that's happening around us, or maybe even wars that happen around us. God allows these things to happen in our lives so that we begin to see, no matter how much I try, that good life that I was experiencing, I might try to gain attain that good life again, but it's just so hard. We try to gain that back, but then we find all kinds of ways to do it, and we get worse and worse in the methods that we use to try to get that good life back. We just find ourselves continually failing, and it leads to further sin. And we're just bent on trying to get that good thing, but not turning to God all that time. All of this explains that we are not acknowledging God and we're not giving thanks to God. Let me give just some real world examples. You know, last week I talked about COVID and vaccines and things like that, and some people shared with me that the way that I talked about it made them feel a little bit uncomfortable. And so I want to be extremely clear today, and I want to just reshare just some of my thoughts about this. You know, I want to say that COVID is just a terrible thing, and it's affecting the whole world, and a lot of us are suffering because of it. Some of us, we enjoy being in lockdown. I've heard some of us express that. But I know that for some people, it's been really, really difficult. And for some people, it's really affecting their businesses. It's really affecting their lives. It's really affecting their families. It's affecting their work. It's affecting a lot of different things. And so a lot of people are saying, you know, we want to go back to normal. And some people are saying, let's get the vaccine. As soon as we get all the vaccines here in Taiwan and we're able to get vaccines, then finally we'll be able to get back to normal. Now, here's the thing that I want to be clear on. I want to say that getting the vaccine is not a bad thing. It's helpful. It's good. And if there is a vaccine out there that's available for us and you're ready to take it, go take it. It's going to be helpful. But then, and the other thing is that, yes, it's through the hard work of the doctors and the nurses, all the government officials, everyone is just laboring so hard. All the police officers, they're doing so much to help society. And what they're doing is great. And so there are these things that we should be thankful for. We should be thankful for all the researchers that have put in so much time to find the vaccine. We should be thankful for the fact that all of these government officials are working so hard to get the latest information out to us. They're not perfect, but they're working really hard. And the doctors and the nurses and all the ambulances and police officers, they're really working hard to try to help us have a healthy society here. And so it's good to be thankful. But in our hearts, are we seeing them as the ultimate answer for all of our troubles? Are we seeing them, or let me just continue with that a little bit. Are we seeing them as the ultimate hope of what will make our lives great? Wonderful. Are they our ultimate hope? There may be some hope, some temporary hope. You know, maybe the vaccines really will help. And all the things that the government officials are doing. Yeah, it is helping. It is helping. The number of cases seems like they're going down. But then, are we putting our ultimate hope in these things? While we look to these solutions, are we acknowledging God to be the God that has allowed for these government officials to work in the way they do? Are we acknowledging God to be the one that is allowing these vaccines to actually be developed? Are we acknowledging God to be the one that's working through the doctors and the nurses and giving them strength to be able to continue on and to have that heart to want to help people? Are we looking to God and acknowledging that He's the one that's working amidst all of these things that are going on? Or are we just acknowledging these people and these things? Are we acknowledging God and seeing that God is the one that's the one who is nurturing us and healing us and providing for us and guiding us? Are we acknowledging and giving thanks to God in all of these things? You know, for myself, I just want to share that during this time of COVID and voluntary lockdown, it's been really great for my family and I. It's been really good to be able to spend time with family, to eat meals together. My wife is an excellent cook, and so I love eating at home, and I don't have to eat some of the meals that are out here. I mean, they're good too, but my wife's cooking is great. I love the fact that I have time to be able to, or the kids are at home and not at some summer camp, and so I can put them on a schedule to learn things that I've wanted them to learn. And so my kids are on a schedule every single day, and so that's been great, and it's been great to be able to spend time with them. And to be honest with you, the first 2 weeks of voluntary lockdown, I was really enjoying it. And it was good. But this past week, I just want to share very openly with you guys. This past week has been kind of difficult. I want to be with my family. I want to spend time with them. But at the same time, I still have my work. I still have to prepare the sermon. I still have to meet with people. And there are a lot of people that I'm meeting with, and we meet online on Zoom. But then, you know, my kids, they're really wonderful, and I know that they're really good kids, and they're learning, and they're growing, and things like that, but also, they're kids. And so, you know, when I'm in a meeting with someone, my kids will come in and they'll ask me a question. Okay, great. I try to answer, and then I have them go. But then sometimes I hear them kind of arguing and fighting, then I have to ask, I have to apologize to the person I'm talking to, and then I have to go out and I have to help the kids reconcile. I have to help the kids deal with the issue. And then sometimes the kids have a need, and then I have to be the one going out, and then maybe I'll microwave the food that Polly already made, because sometimes Polly still needs to go and work. And so she's out, and so I'm at home with the kids, and I have to prepare the meals, just microwave. And so there are a lot of times that I feel like I'm interrupted with my work. And so this past week, I started finding myself getting really stressed. And there are moments where I got really angry with my kids. And the reason why I was getting so angry was because as I was thinking about this during this weekend, I was preparing for this sermon, I was thinking about it, and I was thinking, I wish we could go back to our normal life so that my kids can be in their summer programs and so I can focus on work. I don't want to be interrupted anymore. Why? Why? Because I feel like I have to do a good job of preparing for the sermon, because if I don't, then what's going to happen? I feel like I have to do a good job. I want to be successful in delivering a good sermon. I want people to appreciate me for putting in the amount of time that I do to prepare a sermon. I put in a lot of time, but because of these interruptions, I feel like I'm not able to put in as much time as I did in the past. Or sometimes I feel I feel bad that my meeting with someone or the meetings that I'm having with the staff at church is getting interrupted constantly, and I feel like I'm doing a disservice to those people, and I feel like I need to do something so that these people will still be helped, because I'm the one that's going to be helping them. I'm going to rely on my own strength. I'm going to make sure that the kids are under control. I'm the one that's going to make sure that I'm going to have a successful sermon. I'm going to be, and I take my eyes off of God, and I put my eyes on myself, and I'm trying to attain this idea of I was a good worker. I was a good person that was appreciated by other people. I was successful at what I was doing. This is who I am, and I'm trying to attain this. But it's hard to, especially when I take my eyes off of God. And I know that I take my eyes off of God because I become angry with my kids. I become frustrated. Maybe some of you guys might relate with something like this. Maybe some of you guys might relate with the pattern, at least. Maybe not with my specific situation, but at least with the pattern. And if you don't have any idea, if you don't have any thoughts about, like, you know, how your life fits in with this pattern, think about something that you're proud about yourself. Think about something that you're glad that you are a certain way, or maybe something that you've achieved. Think about something that you're proud of. And think about how sometimes you might not feel that people acknowledge that thing that you're proud of. Or maybe sometimes people, or sometimes when you work, you feel like you're not able to display this part of yourself that you're proud of. Think about that. Because that's where we begin, where God blesses, but then we forget God. We begin to give credit to ourselves, and God puts us in situations or allows situations to happen to us where it seems like God takes away the blessing. We try to gain it back again ourselves, and we try to all kinds of ways to make sure that that's going to happen, and I'm going to be able to show myself worthy, and it leads to further sin. But all throughout that time, we're not acknowledging God or giving thanks to God. And what I realize is that for me, I'm just like the people of Israel. Even though God called me out, God calls me His child, God calls me His son, but then there's so many times that I turn my eyes away from Him and I continue to turn to myself or to these other things in this world. And this is where we come to our third point, God's judgment. For the world, those people that don't acknowledge God and don't give thanks to God, the Bible tells us over and over again that there is a final judgment. That God will judge the world, those people that don't acknowledge God or give thanks to Him. But not only that, not only does the world fall into this, but even us Christians, we fall into this over and over again. And what we see is that the people of Israel, they fell into this trap. They fell into the temptation to continue to look to themselves. And God did bring about punishment. God did bring about judgment. They were conquered. They were taken over and they were taken as slaves. They had a terrible life afterwards. This judgment is something that we might think will come to us, and sometimes we fall into this temptation to think, man, is God judging me? Is this going to happen to me? But it's different for us. And for those of you that don't believe in Jesus Christ, it can be different for you. The reason why it's different for us is because of Jesus Christ. When we turn back to the Lord, when we turn our eyes back to God, and we remember what Jesus Christ has done for us, then the thing that we also remember is that it's God who's calling us continually. God will continue to send reminders. God will continue, just the fact that you're hearing this sermon is a reminder from God saying, turn back to me. God will be the one continually working in your life, even through the Holy Spirit, to call you back. And to call you his child once again. There are many times that I may fail. And I'm just like the Israelites, where I was a child of God, but I rebelled against God. But when we look back to 11 verse 1, it says, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. And they continue to turn away. This is what God says in verse 8 and 9. God says, how can I give you up? O Israel, O Ephraim. How can I hand you over, O Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I treat you like Zeboiim? What's Admah and Zeboiim? Admah and Zeboiim were the two places that were destroyed along with Sodom and Gomorrah. How can I destroy you completely? I'm not. My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. I will not execute my burning anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim. For I am God and not a man, the Holy One in your midst. And I will not come in wrath. I'm the same God that I declared myself to be back in the time of the Exodus. I am the compassionate and gracious God. I'm the same God during the time of Hosea. And God is saying to you right now, I'm the same God today. I'm the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. And yet, I will not leave the guilty unpunished. And we might think, oh man, am I going to get punished? But we don't have to think this way. The interesting thing is that Matthew, he quotes from Hosea 11 verse 1. And a lot of people are confused as to why does Matthew quote this verse to talk about Jesus? Because it doesn't seem like it's talking about Jesus here. And it's not, actually. But what Matthew does is that he's looking at the themes that have been occurring all throughout history. How God calls people, but the people continue to turn away. God called Israel his child, but this child, this first child, turned away from God. But Jesus also was a child that was called out of Egypt. There was trouble in the land. All the firstborn were being killed during the time of Jesus when Jesus was a child. And he and his family went to Egypt. And God called Jesus out of Egypt. And just like Israel, Israel came out and passed through the water, through the Red Sea. And in a similar way, what happened with Jesus is that Jesus was baptized. He passed through the water. And then the Israelites, they went through the wilderness, and they were in the wilderness. And Jesus also went to the wilderness after his baptism, and he was tempted in the wilderness. And so what we see, what Matthew was seeing, was that Jesus was the greater Israel. Jesus is the true Israel. Jesus is the perfect child of God that was called out of Egypt. And though the first child, Israel, they failed, this child, Jesus Christ, will never fail. And yet what happened was that Jesus Christ, even though he was the perfect child of God, he went to the cross for our sins. You see, God does not leave the guilty unpunished. And so because he is a just God, he had to punish us. But rather than punishing us, Jesus Christ took our punishment for us. And that's why God is able to say to his people, how can I give you up? And he goes on to say, Assyria shall not sorry. He goes on to say in chapter 11, how can I hand you over? I will not execute my burning anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not a man. I am a God who does not change. You are people that will continue to change in turn, but I will never change. My love will continue on for you. So what does God call us to do? What God calls us to, God calls us to repent and return back to Him. And in Hosea verse, in 14 verse 3, it says, Assyria, I'm sorry, let me set that up a little bit. Let me read from verse 1. I don't have it on the screen here, I just realized. Verse 1 says this, Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take with you words and return to the Lord. Say to Him, Take away all iniquity, accept what is good, and we will pay with bulls the vows of our lips. Assyria shall not save us. We will not ride on horses, and we will say no more our God to the work of our hands. And you, the orphan, finds mercy. Okay, what is this saying? What this is saying, what God desires of us, is for us to come back to Him and just to acknowledge Him and say, those things that I looked to that were supposed to save me, I acknowledge those things will not save me. And I will say to the work of my hands where I trusted myself, I will no longer say to these things, my God, our God. I will reject all these things and I will turn to God and say, you are my God. And I want to remember your fatherly love for me. And I know that you do care for me and that you do love me. That's what God is calling us to do. And when we do that, when we remember that God is the one that is taking the initiative to call out to us, it's not even us turning to God. It's not because I made the decision to turn to God so that I can trust myself to turn to God. I can't even trust myself to be faithful in turning back to God. But the good news is that God is the one that continues to call out to us. And He says, how can I give you up, my people? I will draw you to myself. And the fact that we're able to turn to the Lord is a sign that God does love us, that God is nurturing us, that God is healing us, that God is helping us and protecting us and guiding us. These are all signs of God's love for us. And so, brothers and sisters, let's remember our compassionate and gracious God that has said, how can I give you up? Let's acknowledge Him. Let's turn to Him and give thanks to Him. And when that happens, I don't have to trust myself to control my schedule and my children. I don't have to trust myself to be successful. I don't have to do all these things anymore. And I can start to begin to be compassionate to my children, to not show anger, but to be gentle, still point them in the right direction, but to just love them. Let's do that. Let's turn to the Lord. And let's let the Lord change our lives. Let's pray together. Normally on this second Sunday of the month, we usually take communion. And I know that some churches, they do communion online like this, but we've decided not to do it that way. And so I just want us to just take a moment, maybe just a few moments, just to go before the Lord as John plays just some music for us in the background. Just take a moment to go before the Lord and to do the very thing that the sermon was about today. Let's remember that our God does show us His fatherly love. And even if you're feeling terrible right now, just be assured that our God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And that He is working to heal us, to grow us, to nurture us, to protect us and guide us. God is working to preserve us for His glory. And so take a moment to let's acknowledge the Lord in all these things. And if you're not a believer, Take this time just to think about that. If you're not acknowledging God, then who are you acknowledging? And are they able to give you all the things that you're looking for? Or are you looking to yourself? And are you able to live up to all the things that you're wanting in this world? Let's take a moment to think and pray. Let's do that now.